Sport on Highland brought to you by michaelmurphysports.ie with free next day delivery on orders over €85.
A very good evening and welcome along to another edition of what is a busy Score programme tonight. Coming up on the show, we'll be hearing from former Fin Harps skipper Keith Cowan, head of Fin Harps, against Waterford tomorrow night in a huge game in the Premier Division of the League of Ireland. It's Donegal Senior Ladies Football Final weekend. We will be hearing from the respective sides involved, Glenfin and Termon. It's also quarterfinals in the championship for the men. Former Dr. Maguire winner with St. Eunan's, Brendan Kilcoyne joins us to look at the last eight games. While in rugby, Letterkenny can go top of Ulster qualifying three this weekend if they take victory. We'll be hearing from their head coach, Paul O'Kane, tonight on the show. But it's with Gaelic games we start, and it is, of course, another bumper weekend of championship action right across the northwest here in Donegal, and not forgetting about Derry and Tyrone as well. We'll start with Donegal, and there is, of course, quarterfinals at intermediate and senior level, plus there's relegation playoff matches to take place as well. Just to remind our listeners, if you are attending matches this coming weekend, you need a ticket. You have to buy a ticket online at donegalgaa.ie. Admission to all the games, championship games at all levels this weekend in Donegal is by electronic ticket only, and you have to buy it online on the website. So you can't turn up at the turnstiles at the weekend. No cash will be taken at the turnstiles. You will have to buy your ticket before you head to the venue. There is, of course, by the way, old age pensioners and under 12s, there is free admission for both of those categories for the weekend's game. So under 12s and away P's have free admission to the matches in Donegal. If you're not going to the game, there is, of course, loads of other ways to follow the action. You can tune into Highland Radio this coming weekend, Friday evening through to Sunday. We'll have the four senior quarterfinals in the men's championship fully live with full live commentary here on Highland. You'll not miss a thing. And if you would like to watch it via the streaming service as well, there's something like eight games that you can watch this weekend in Donegal, available on the Donegal TV Donegal streaming TV service, which is also available on donegalga.ie. So let's look at the fixtures. We'll do it day by day. The games get up and running tomorrow night with the Senior Football Championship quarter-final. St. Michael's against Éireann Ballyshannon as the first of the senior last eight games throws in Ballybuffet at 8:30. The Senior Championship game on Saturday evening is McCool's against Kilcare. 8 o'clock is the start time to that one, and Ardrah is the venue. Also on Saturday, Intermediate Championship quarter-finals Saturday afternoon. Clohanilly take on Mallon and Eve Breed play Eve Columba. And then later in the evening, it's Eve Mora Lower Rosses up against Dunloe. The first of the Senior Championship relegation quarter-finals is on Saturday evening at 6. Bundoran play Milford in Convoy. On to Sunday, the big senior doubleheader is St. Eunan's against St. Noel's and Gidore against Eve Connell. Those games start at 3 o'clock and 5:15 respectively. Also on Sunday, a relegation quarter-final in Convoy at 1 o'clock. Glenswilly play Ardrah. The fourth quarter-final in intermediate level is in Letterkenny at 4 with Fanna Gaels up against Buncrana. And the relegation semi-finals at intermediate level on Sunday at 2 and 2:30 respectively, as Niamh Ulton against Red Hughes and Burt are up against Convoy. So those are the standout fixtures for the men in Donegal this coming weekend. Not forgetting there is, of course, B reserve action at all levels too to take place over the 3 days. So let's focus in on those senior quarterfinals now. A man that has won the Dr. Maguire on several occasions as a player and a manager with St. Eunan's is Brendan Kilcoyne, and I got his thoughts on each of the quarterfinals when I spoke to him earlier today. So Brendan, it's good to talk to you again. Another very busy weekend of championship action, and we're going to focus on senior games, of course, all four games live on Highland this coming weekend. The first of those at McCool Park tomorrow night, Friday. McCool's against Éireann, Brendan. A lot of people saying that Niamh Connell against Gwydor is going to be the match of the last eight. But that's suggesting too that this Michael's Éireann game could be the tightest of the lot of them.
Yeah, really. Listen, I suppose both clubs will be very happy that they find themselves in the quarterfinals. They've had they're coming from two different positions completely, Oisin, and from the point of view that St. Michael's are an experienced senior team. have been there or thereabouts over the last kind of 10 years, I suppose you could say, at this stage. And then you have Aroa, who have come up and perform admirably well since they came up from intermediate. And, you know, they've had a great season, irrespective of how the quarterfinal goes. But they're not going to settle for that. They're going to see this as a great opportunity to maybe push it one step further to a county semi-final. So it really is a difficult game to call from the point of view that, you know, Michaels have so much experience and, you know, the household names of Colm Anthony McFadden, Christy Toy, Martin McElhenney, these type of guys. And of course, that's interspread then with Michael Langan, who was recently nominated for an All-Star, scored 1-7 of their 3-10 last week, and Carlos O'Reilly and these type players. So, you know, they've massive experience and they're going to be very, very cagey and very well set up for this Aroa side. Aroa, on the other hand, you know, they've beaten Four Masters and they've beaten Ardra, who would be two of the lower ranked of the 16 teams, but they also had a tough draw to get here and admirably came back from 9 points down, I think it was, against Nate Conlon in the second game to secure a draw and secure their place in the quarter final. So they're going to be, you know, there's a pep in the step down in Ballyshannon, and they're going to come up full of confidence. Philip Patton scored 6 points of their 116 against Ardra last week, and they have a good mix of youth and a wee bit of experience thrown in there. So I think Michael's experience and, you know, consistency of playing at this level should stand to them in this quarter final. And I would expect them to come through and to use that experience to come through, but they're not going to get it all their own way here, Oisin.
That's for sure. Brendan, we'll just stay maybe on the that side of the draw, because whoever comes through that game on Friday will end up meeting the winners of St. Eunan's and St. Noel's, which is the first game on Sunday of the doubleheader at McCool Park in Balbuffet. Maybe the quarterfinal draw favouring St. Eunan's, do you feel, Brendan?
Well, you'd have to say so. If they could have picked the draw before it was made, you know, they've avoided the Kilcar, Niamh Connell and Gidore, who, you know, they're the three top-ranked teams in the county for the last few years. So they are, and they're the teams that St. Eunan's have struggled to overcome in the big games. Albeit they've been very close to them, but getting close to them and actually beating them is, you know, obviously is a massive difference. And, you know, they'll be looking no further than St. Noel's this Sunday. St. Noel's have been superb since they came up from intermediate, also like Aroa, the aforementioned Aroa. And, you know, St. Noel's have so much quality throughout the team, and Stephen and Barry Griffin, Brendan McCall, Pather Morgan, Stuart Johnson, these type players. And we saw how well they have performed at intermediate level before they made the step up to the senior championship and going all the way to an Ulster final. And, you know, they've really been on a great run. And again, you know, last couple of games, they narrowly beat Glenswilly, and then they put 216 up against Milford last week with 9 different scorers, I think. So, you know, they really are playing with a lot of confidence. They'll not fear facing St. Eunan's. But again, you just look at the experience in the St. Eunan squad, and particularly defensively, like, you know, you have Aaron Deeney, Keelan Moore, Peter Devine, Eamon Dock, Kieran Tobin has come into this team too this year, and he's been very impressive. And you have Peter McNiff, and, you know, they really have a solid, solid back line. And again, it all hinges on Niall O'Donnell up front, so it does, from the point of view that when he's playing well, Eunan's play well. And Eunan's haven't really set the world alight so far. They were very impressive, Oisin. We did coverage of the game against Kilcar, and I was hugely impressed with them in the first half. But again, they lost their way in the second half, and Kilcar just proved too much for them and, you know, ran out winners by a couple of points. But they've kind of got over the line against in their other games. A slow start against Ballyshannon. Again, against Tyrone, it took, you know, a few substitutes later on to come on and win it for them. And again, it took a couple of late scores to put Bloss on the sideline last week. So Eunan's know that they have to up another gear or two in order to progress to a semi-final. And I think this St. Noel's team, you know, will push them all the way on Sunday. And, you know, I wouldn't be hugely surprised, you know, coming down the final straight, that if St. Noel's are in the frame at that stage, they have a lot of experience of playing tight games through the intermediate championship and since they've come up to senior. And, you know, they're capable of really pushing this St. Eunan's team and making it difficult for them. But you would still expect the experience that St. Eunan's have, Oisin, throughout the field to be able to get them over this. But it's important that there's no complacency. And I'm sure Rory Cavanagh and his management team will be seeing to that this week.
Is that maybe the tie if there was to be a shock this weekend, Brendan, that it could happen?
Well, yeah, you know, it probably would be, but it's difficult to see, you know, for St. Noel's to see how they are going to get over the line on this one. But by all means, I do think they're really going to test the St. Junan's team, so they are. And they have nothing to lose here. They've had a fantastic season already, so they have, by getting to the quarterfinals and winning the games that they've had. And they're going to be caught the hoop down there. They're setting new boundaries for St. Noel's. They're setting the limit has been set higher for them. So, you know, as you say, it could be a shock, but I still believe that St. Junan should have enough to come through.
Yeah, Kilcare, obviously one of the two form teams in the championship themselves, and Gweedore, of course, with four wins from four, sitting top of the group as they head to the quarterfinals. McCool's the opposition for last year's beaten finalists on Saturday evening in our draw, Brendan. Can McCool's at all get close to Kilcare, or is it a case that with the quality and the depth and the superb footballers that they have, that they could be out of sight very early in this one?
Well, again, it's another step up the ladder for McCool's from the point of view, okay, they beat Bundoran and Termin in their last couple of games, but this is a different scenario completely. You know, Kilcare have been, I think, the form team of the championship, so then they've been very impressive. But, you know, we know the importance of Oisin Gallan to this team. He's hit 122 of their 447, I think, they've scored so far, something like that in the championship so far. So, you know, Kilcare will know that he's a major threat here, but he's not the only threat. You have the two O'Reillys, Marty Stevie or Stephen O'Reilly. Gary Wilson is having a great season in the middle of the park for them. So Jamie Keegan come on the last day, and, you know, their defence will be backbone by players like Luke Gavigan and that. So, you know, there's a lot of quality there in McCool's, and we were down Maher Gallan last year, and they were very unfortunate not to get a win over Gweedore in that particular game, Oisin, if you remember. And, you know, they have the capability to push Kilcare, but I just think this Kilcare team are on a mission, so they are. You know, the disappointment of losing the county final to Niamh Connell, and, you know, they've restructuring on their team. They've positioned Owen McHugh at full-back, so it'll be interesting to see how that develops over the next few games. Stephen McBrearty is coming back into a bit of form, and, of course, his brother then inside is capable of shooting the lights out every day. And then Andrew McLean, I'm not sure about Matthew McLean's availability, but he was hugely impressive against St. Junan's, if you remember, in the second half, like 4 or 5 wonders points, so he did. And then you have Kieran McGinley in the middle of the field, Connor Dock, and there's just so much quality throughout this team, so there is. And, you know, I can't see McCool's overturning them on Saturday. They'll give it a good shot, but Kilcare are totally tuned in and focused on reclaiming a championship, and they're going the right way about it, but, you know, they obviously have a few more steps to take, and they're going to be tested by McCool's. But, you know, game is in our draw, might make it interesting, might change. You know, it's the other three games are all in McCool Park. The game is in our draw Saturday evening, 8:00. But I just think Kilcare will have too much for McCool's and should be able to dispose of them and set up an intriguing quarter or semi-final against either Niamh Connell or Gweedore.
Yeah, speaking of that game on Sunday, it's the second of the doubleheader. It's got a 5:15 start. Is this one too tight to call because Gweedore have had a good group campaign, so they have won all their matches, going to the quarterfinals. Niamh Connell dropped the point, of course, in the draw with Éire, and probably stuttered at times in some of their matches as well. Are Niamh Connell firing on all cylinders, and are they going to meet a Gweedore side that have got that hunger back to try and get the Dr. Maguire, Brendan?
Yeah, well, listen, you know, Niamh Connell, and I watched them. I was at the Niamh Connell-Glen Swilly game last weekend, and Niamh Connell did what they always seem to do. They just did enough to get over the line, so they did. And but that said, they looked in control, and, you know, despite a gallant Glen Swilly, I thought Glen Swilly played well. Niamh Connell just seemed to control the game from large parts of it, kind of thing. And this is them starting without Anthony Thompson, Kieran Thompson. You know, they were short a good few regulars, and it shows the strength and depth in their squad. They have, you know, now, listen, Owen McGettigan is a loss to this Niamh Connell team, and particularly when we get to these stages. And Kieran Gallagher, who I was very impressed with, particularly early in the game last weekend, seemed to come off with an injury that looked like it could be a hamstring. And, you know, the loss of them couple of players could be detrimental to them. But of all teams, Niamh Connell have the squad to be able to back it up, so they have. And they've so much ability throughout that squad, and they're in such good shape physically. They understand their game plan. Every player that comes in totally knows their job and their role within the team. And they're so well organized. And of course, you know, they have this huge carrot of, you know, they're going for three in a row, which is a rarely achieved feat in Donegal football. And St. Junan's been the last team to do it. So they're going to be totally focused on this. And, you know, you go back to the 2019 three games with Gidor, you know, what fantastic games they were. They may not have been for the purists from the high scoring point of thing, but they were hugely enjoyable and fiercely competitive games. So they were. And Gidor seemed to have regained some of their mojo, Oisin, from last year. And, you know, Oran McNeilis, you know, his fitness is going to be crucial to how they get on. Also, Neil and Amy McGee, are they available and are they fit to play? And if they have their full whack, they're going to be some details, so they are. And, you know, I always think with Gidor, if you can get a happy camp down in Gidor, all pulling in the one direction, they're a match for anyone. But like you mentioned at the outset, Oisin, this one is really impossible to call. And that was demonstrated by the trilogy back in 2019. There's just very so little between the teams. It's going to be a tight, cagey affair. It's going to be something similar, I would imagine, to the games we witnessed back a couple of years ago. You look at Gidor and, you know, Oran McFadden, along with the aforementioned Neil and Ian McGee, you have Oran McFadden, Ferry, Dara Wheel and Niall Friel that, you know, really make up a formidable back line, back six with Oran and Micheál Carroll around the middle. And then you have Keane Mulligan, Nisha Wheel, you know, Gavin McBride, and, you know, there's so many good players around the field, so they have. So, you know, this game is just mouth-watering prospect, and I can't wait to kind of look to see it on Sunday. It really is going to be exciting and, you know, fought to the bitter end, because both these teams will really, you know, their seasons are hinging on it, and there's so much at stake.
You're on the fence then, Brendan, by the sounds of it.
Correct, yeah. Listen, it really is impossible to call. Like, you know, I think Nave Connell have always been able to grind out these games over the last few years. We saw them do it against Unions. We saw them doing it against Gidor. We saw them doing it against Kilcar. So they've done it against these teams previously. And their ability to do that, to find a way to win, is hugely impressive. Like, I was a great fan of the Meath teams of the late 80s. And they were a similar vein. They just found a way to win games by any means. And Nave Connell are masters at that, Oisin. So if I was really pushed, I would probably go Nave Connell. But listen, it's a toss of a coin.
Okay. Just finally then, Brendan, on the relegation playoffs, there's two this week. Glenswilly against Ardrabb, Bundoran against Milford. Glenswilly unlucky not to make it to the quarterfinals. But I suppose these are two games that the weekend can go either way.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, I was impressed with Glenswilly. I thought they did really well last weekend against Nave Connell. And I would expect them to have probably too much for Ardrabb in this game. Ardrabb have a couple of injury problems at the minute. They're short a couple of players. And, you know, that they would need a full complement to be competing at this level. And I just feel Glenswilly aren't in a bad place. Did a couple of wins in the group stages and were probably unlucky, you know, not to make the top eight as opposed to the bottom eight. It was only score difference in the end. And then in the Milford-Bundoran game, you know, Jimmy Brennan is obviously a huge loss to Bundoran throughout the whole championship. And they held Unions for a long time last weekend until Unions came good in the last. And Milford just seem to be struggling. They seem to be struggling and they may have to wait for another chance maybe down the line to avoid the relegation. I would expect Bundoran to probably have too much for Milford. I think that game is in Convoy Centre, or in Convoy, Oisin. But, you know, again, it's a tight one to call, but I just think that Bundoran have more experience and have more calibre players used to playing at this level over the last few years. And I think they'll grind out a win against Milford. So I would probably go for a Bundoran-Glenswilly double in them relegation playoffs, Oisin.
Okay, Brendan, good to talk to you. We'll be talking more over the weekend. You're going to join us in Coolcom for a couple of the matches. Enjoy the football.
Thanks very much, Oisin. Good to talk.
So there you go, that's Brendan Kilcoyne on the quarterfinals of the Donegal Senior Football Championship. Let's turn our attention now to the Donegal Senior Ladies Championship final, which is taking place this coming Sunday. Old rivals Glenfin and Termon are set to go at it again, this time at the Neave Padraig Lifford GA grounds at 1:30 on a Sunday. Glenfin came through their game against Buncrana with no issues at all, while Termon, thanks to Jerry McLaughlin, also racked up a big score. Time to hear from the respective camps. Coming up, we'll hear from Nicole McLaughlin of Termon, but first up, Tom Comack has been speaking to Glenfin's Katie Hearn.
Katie, first of all, delighted you could join us tonight, and back in another final, I suppose it's the same old story, isn't it? It's Termon once again, your opponents.
Yeah, obviously nice to be back again, Tom. It's a big battle again with Termon, and listen, we're pretty familiar with each other now at this stage, and we knew it would be them and we've all coming through the other side, so it's just nice to be back in the final.
Yeah.
On Sunday now.
Yeah, and probably the odds were always on it anyway, because you are the two strongest club sides in the county at the moment.
Aye, listen, we have good numbers coming through and a lot of girls working hard, and Mobile were unlucky during the year there. They lost a few of their players over to college in Liverpool, so that probably weakened them a wee bit, and they still competed, so it just shows the kind of depth that's coming through there as well. So they were probably unlucky just not to make the final.
Yeah. I was up at your game on last Sunday against Buncrana, a pretty facile victory in reality. But the one thing that I observed, the amount of players you're playing or training or there at half-time subs togged out, I think someone told me there was a squad of 34.
Yeah, always a massive panel, and credit to the girls because they've been sticking at it the whole way through COVID and now again coming into the winter. So it's brilliant to have those kind of numbers out. It makes it that wee bit easier to show up coming into the winter months. And there's a great blend of age there as well, with young ones coming through and the old heads are still hanging on. So it's nice to have that numbers, and it gives the boys that bit of a headache, which is good for the competitive edge as well.
Yeah, it keeps the older ones on their toes as well, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't. We need that, Tom.
Yeah. What keeps you going? Because you've been there, you, Karen, Yvonne and Grania have been there from 2011 on.
Yeah, I suppose it's the love of the game. You grow up playing it and you're so used to just doing the same thing in and out, year in, year out, and without it you'd probably be a wee bit lost, despite the complaining at times. But when you see the commitment the young guys are having now, it's probably where we were at maybe 5-6 years ago, hoping that everyone would get to that level. And when we have everybody on the same page now, it's lovely to go out training knowing that everyone's given the same and everyone's there for the right reasons. So it's nice to have a bunch of girls that are, they're all dedicated to the cause. So I suppose that gives you a wee bit of an incentive going out every night. So it's nice to have the numbers.
I suppose initially you set the bar for them, though, didn't you? You know, you four guys have all played at the highest level. We've won with All-Stars, and hers is a remarkable story. Just 6 weeks ago, giving birth to a baby, and now playing in the county final.
Yeah, oh, listen, there's no better doll than Yvonne to come back and that turnaround. She's been doing brilliant, Mike, and she kept herself in such great shape the whole way through, and probably with this in mind. So delighted that she can actually take to the field now, and it's obviously a massive boost for us. A calibre of player like Yvonne to be able to come back into the fold, it's obviously a massive incentive. So it's great that she's got herself back on her feet, and delighted for her. So
and the campaign, you're unbeaten, are you?
We are, yeah.
Yeah. So obviously you're going as favourites, but we know Tarma went in this time last year as favourites, so we know what can happen then.
Yeah, and sure, it's hard to read from it, Tom. Some of the league games were played kind of under strength. We had Tarma in the last game there, but they'd already qualified, so some of the girls were injured and some didn't play, so it was kind of hard to read anything from it. So we know ourselves, we know the players they have, and we've met each other that many times now, so we know it'll be no easy task at all. It'll be a dogfight as always, so we'll be prepared for that.
Yeah, and obviously everybody looks to Jerdy McLaughlin. She scored, what, 5 goals and 6 points last week. She carries the big threat, but there's good players all around the field in Termon.
Yeah, that's it. And I think it's the same on both sides. Both teams have big names and both teams have a lot of youth coming through, and I'd say it mightn't just go down to the forward line on Sunday. I'd say it's going to come from everybody around the middle that's contributing to that. We've had a lot of scorers across the team, and Termon have been the same. So obviously there is standout players that are going to need to be well marshalled, but at those other games that are chipping in the scores that are probably going to make the difference.
Yeah, because we mentioned Geraldine on the Termon side. You have Yvonne Bonner on your side. What, 3-3 last week? She's really in great form.
Yeah, that's the thing. When you've got such big names on either side of the two teams on either side of the field, there's going to be a threat all the time, and that goal threat comes with the two of those girls. Obviously, we see the damage Geraldine can do with County, and Yvonne was the same when she was playing, so both teams have a lethal forward line, and it's probably going to come down to see who can marshal that a wee bit better. But as I said, it's those other games that are going to come chipping in that might just make the difference.
And have you got everybody?
We do, yeah. Everyone's training and going well and fit, so we've no injuries at the minute. Tara, we lost Tara Martin to a knee injury throughout the league there, and she was in flying form, probably the best she's been playing now in years. So that was a big blow for her and the team, but we've just had to come to terms with it now and been planning without her. So it's pretty unlucky for Tara because she was in great form. But as I say, we've dealt with that now. We're planning without her for Sunday. So we just need to move forward. And that's the joy of having a big panel. Somebody just gets a chance to step up.
Well, Nicole, I suppose it's a case of deja vu, looking forward to another final and another clash with your old rivals. And I suppose many great friends as well in Glenfenn.
Yeah, it is. As you said, deja vu, but hopefully not a deja vu for us for last year, from last year. But yeah, some of the friends, some of the girls we play with there in the county team, the few of them now would be on that Glenfenn team.
Yeah. Is it hard to park that for when it comes to a club, or is it quite easy?
No, it is. You know, I suppose it's like everything, once you step over the line, you know, everyone wants to win. And with the season's been split, it's great. You know, you do all your football with county and you stay with county, and once it's finished, you're moving on to a different team. So that's your team now. For us, you know, it's all Terman now. And as I said, I'm sure the same for the Glenfenn girls.
Yeah.
Once you step over that line, the goal is to win the game.
Yeah. As you mentioned, you want to forget last year. I think Glenfenn caused something of an upset. That they dethroned you, but not only did it, but it's the manner that it is. What, they hit you with 7 goals?
Yeah, no, look, Glenfenn were out, and maybe they were out from the year before. We had bet them the year before, and I would say they were out just to really get the cup back, and they came at us, and we are very... not that we didn't expect it. We knew how good they are, and we know how good they are, and we know what they're capable of. And I personally feel like, you know, as a team, our performance as a team was probably one of the worst performances we've ever had in the history of our team, I think. And it just didn't come together. I think everything that went could possibly go wrong in a game, it went wrong. And I know it's easy to say that after the game, but no, you know, Glenfenn came out last year and they went for it, and they really showed us, really. And you said it's definitely one to forget.
So you're back this year with much the same team, isn't it, Nicole, is it?
No, you know, there's a good few of those younger girls up now this year, and we've lost three prominent starters, you know, three of the older girls. Emer Alcon, she moved to London this year, and then we have Roisin Friel, Roisin Yankee. She done her Achilles there in a league game against St. Junans, and then of course Emer Gallagher, we've one of our county players. She got injured in the game against Kerry.
Turn TV star now.
Turn TV star, yeah, Emer. She's been brilliant there. She might be better than this than me, but Emer, we lost her in the county setup, but you know, she's massive as well for us, for Terman, and so it is a different team now this year. You know, we're younger, and some of the younger girls really did step up this year and saw them positions open and really took it.
And Andy Connor came in, went for a new manager, an outside manager.
Yeah, Andy came, and I think we met with Andy, it was in February or March or April, I can't remember now, but we met with him one morning, Yeah, Andy was there for the year, or is here for the year, and it's good to have new blood in, and you know, good to have changed up maybe as well, and a different perspective on things. Also, for the younger to impress, and all of us really, to impress someone else, and to try to get your name out there, and to be on that certain team as well now. But Andy's put in a lot of work, him and his brother Seamus, and they put in a lot of work with us, and you know, in times when maybe they only had 6 or 7 at training, you know, they were there, and now they've done really good work, especially with the youngers coming through.
Also, tell us about the semi-final win over Moville, Nicole, and an emphatic victory in that one.
Yeah, no, as I said last week, you know, the score really doesn't reflect the sort of game it is. You know, you can never be too sure with Moville. You know, they're a team, they're up there as well, and you know, and they have the likes of Neve, and the three Neves, Neve McDonald, Neve Haggerty, and Neve McLaughlin. So you just wouldn't be too sure with Moville. So Jordan was on form, and there's very few games where Jordan's not in form. So let's just hope it's she can carry it, or as a team, we can carry it all through. But it was great that Geraldine got the goals in the first half and made it a lot easier for the rest of us, really.
5-6, she scored in all, I think, four of them in the first half, as you say. So obviously, you know, no great surprise in that. But she seems to have the appetite again. We were all fearing after Donegal's defeat to Armagh, you know, that she might be beginning to throw in the towel.
Oh, no, I don't know. I better not speak for her in regards to throwing in the towel. But she's definitely up for it this weekend. And Geraldine, just like the rest of us, you know, we're really want to win. Obviously, everybody wants to win a county final. But yeah, last week was just another great performance by Geraldine. And as I said last week, I think at 7:58, she's racked up. Somebody told me there, 7:58, she's racked up in the county setup. And I said, God only knows what she's got in our year, you know, in the club scene. So when you have Geraldine on your team, you're on a winner, hopefully. That makes it a lot easier maybe for us.
And have you got everybody other than the people you mentioned who were out injured long term?
Yeah, we've got everyone, and everyone should be available now this Sunday. Yeah.
So all set to regain the crown.
Well, that's the plan anyway. Hopefully now on Sunday we can perform and bring it back to Terman.
Nicole McLaughlin and Katie Hearn ahead of that Donegal Senior Ladies Final this coming Sunday starting at 1:30. Also in Lifford, the Ladies Junior B Championship decider between Mallon and McCools will be played at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. And there's another doubleheader at Milford, the Intermediate Final at 11 at St Eunan's against Fanna Gaels, and the Junior A Championship Final between Robert Emmett and Dunloe will take place at 1:30. And the other counties in the northwest, Derry Senior Football Championship quarterfinals this weekend. Two on Saturday and two on Sunday. Lavey play Ballanderry and Slough Neiltigon Owen Ruin, a doubleheader at Owen Beg on Saturday. 5 o'clock is the start time to the action there. And it's also the start time on Sunday back at Owen Beg for another doubleheader at 5 o'clock. Ballaghy are taking on Newbridge. And Swatra are up against Glen. Intermediate quarterfinals this weekend in Derry. On Saturday, Stillstown play Castle Dawson and Greenlock take on Slough Manus. And on Sunday, it's Drumcern against Lausanne and Fochenvale will play Limavady. No senior action in Trome this weekend, but there's several intriguing Intermediate Football Championship quarterfinals. Owen Rose Lake Patrick will take on Clogher and Berra McGorchin. Those games are at Killyclogher on Saturday, a doubleheader, the first underway at 2 o'clock. And then on Sunday, there's a doubleheader at Errigal Cairn with Kildress meeting Moortown, and Ancashlin are up against Rock St Patrick's, first game off at 2 o'clock. So, another very busy weekend, club championship action in the northwest. On to soccer now. Fin Harps have had a 2-week break ahead of their important clash with Waterford tomorrow night, Friday. This, of course, is a huge game and could have a huge bearing on the outcome at the end of the season. Waterford currently sitting in the relegation playoff spot 4 points behind the Donegal side. So if Harps were to win, that gap would open to 7. If they were to lose tomorrow night at the RSC grounds, the gap would come down to 1 and the pressure would be on Ollie Horgan's outfit. This week in our League of Ireland Premier Division talk, Jim O'Doherty has been joined by former Finn Harps captain, Mr. Keith Cowan.
Keith, last weekend only one fixture in the League of Ireland due to international call-ups for League of Ireland players, but it was a significant game, Dundalk beating Shamrock Rovers. Probably not the result that Harps fans would have wanted.
I don't think so, Dermot. No, they would definitely would have been keeping an eye on that one. The players, management and fans as well would have been looking very keenly on that game. Dundalk have come back into form, I suppose, at the right time for them. You know, the cup won over Harps seemed to really give the whole squad a boost, and it was all doom and gloom with them. And you know, we were talking about Dundalk, you know, the great Dundalk team in a relegation fight, and you know, that hasn't seemed to materialise. They're beginning to pull away, and you know, beating the champions 1-0 last weekend was a massive win for them. You know, they've been in great form, as I say, unbeaten in their last 6 games, and you know, that's not the type of form that we would associate with a side in trouble in the league. But if we look through, you know, Harps and Waterford as well, you know, all three of those sides really in great form, and it's really a toss up of who's going to be dragged into that relegation spot.
Yeah, so Dundalk go to Bowes this Friday night, and a win there for Dundalk would actually put them level on points with Bowes.
It would, yeah. I think Bowes carry a couple of games in hand because of their European stuff during the summer there, which went on a few weeks longer than maybe Dundalk's did. But Bowes have been stuttering as well, you know, of late. And, you know, there's nothing guaranteed for them. Dundalk will be full of confidence now going into that. You know, they're scoring goals all over the park. Pat Hoobin, you know, Sean Murray getting goals as well. So, no, they'll be going there with massive confidence. And Dundalk do really need to get their finger out of such if they're going to be pushing up that table. And, you know, that European spot isn't decided yet. You know, they're in the mix. Derry's in the mix. Obviously, Sligo occupied the third spot as well. So it really is. It really is going to be. Everyone's going to be looking over their shoulder this weekend to see how results go, and everybody will want to be doing themselves a favour by getting 3 points.
Yeah, that Premier Division table does make interesting reading ahead of this weekend, and that Bowes Dundalk match is one of 5 games. So a full programme of fixtures all on the one evening, and it includes Waterford against Harps. Then Keith, that's one that's certainly going to whet the appetite. And Harps 4 points ahead of Waterford going into this game. It's a big match.
It's huge. It's absolutely massive. You know, the way the season's going to pan out for both clubs. You know, if Harps win that game, you know, you give yourself a nice cushion going into the last run of games, the last 5 games. Waterford, you know, if they win it, then you're back into a point, you know, between the two of them. So, difficult place to go. We know Waterford have really picked up on form since they got the new manager and Mark Bertram's come in. Harps have been, you know, doing really well of late. You know, they, again, got a bit of a lift through the cup, and you know they've been pulling out some really good performances over the last. I know the last time that the two sides met was in Finn Park, and it was, I think Waterford came away with a 1-0 win. I know you were at that game. I was actually at that game myself watching, and it was a poor Harp side or a performance that we've seen probably all season, you know. Yeah. And it wasn't looking great at that time, but no, both sides have really picked up since. That was the kind of the beginning of the Waterford revival as such, and Harps have been in great form as well of late. So it really is going to be a mouthwatering affair, and it's going to go a long way to decide who picks up that relegation spot.
Both teams impacted by suspensions, the FAI confirming the list of suspensions today, Keith, and 3 Harps players now are going to be out for this game on Friday night. Ethan Boyle, Ryan Connolly and Sean Boy. But Ollie Horgan, speaking to him during the week, he suggested that, you know, these are the things that you have to deal with, and he's got players to come in.
He does, of course he does. You know, we know that Olavi's been, you know, in great form in the last number of months. He's been, you know, he's scoring great goals. He's tearing top defences to shreds at times. You know, we have Adam Foley. You know, he seems to be almost forgotten in the last couple of months. He's been a bit part player. You know, he's Harps' leading goal scorer along with Olavi, both sharing 8 goals. So, you know, for him to come in and place a Sean Boyd, you know, you have a like-for-like striker. You have a big man who likes to play up through the middle, who doesn't really like to be stuck out wide. And maybe that's why we haven't seen a lot of Adam Foley over the last number of weeks. So like there you have players to go in. I'm sure we'll see more. I'm not sure if he's injured as well. Yeah. If he's on the injury list, he's a big miss for them in the middle of the park. There are players to come in. You know, Ethan Boyle is a big miss. You know, Ethan adds a lot to the dressing room. You know, his character, he's encouraging, he's a voice in there, he's a leader. You know, when you're going to a place like Waterford, when you need all your top players available, he'll be a miss.
Yeah, and he's chipped in with a couple of goals as well this season. His absence will mean that Ollie and Hegarty will have to reshuffle their defence again, which is something that he's been doing quite a bit in recent weeks. Webster can play at right back, I suppose. That's the obvious choice. You know, so it'll be interesting to see, first of all, who's available for him and what formation he goes with.
Yeah, look, as I say, I think it's important for Harps that they don't lose the game. You know, I think that's the one that comes across when you look at the shape of the table and how it's going to pan out. You know, a point down there is a great result. Keep that cushion. Like we say, you don't want to be, you know, giving Waterford any hope, although there is still a long way to go. But I think going down there and setting up, you know, not to concede, but we've seen Harps, like the attacking style of football that they've been playing, you know, very devastating on the counter attack. We've seen a couple of great goals, as I say, of late going forward. So they'll be happy just to say remain in the game as long as possible and hopefully nick one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Harps have won in Waterford before, they have a good record in Waterford in recent seasons. Hopefully, they can keep that going this weekend. Derry City then, we'll look at them, Keith. They have a home game against St. Pat's, and you know, as much as it's close at the bottom end of the table, that battle for a European spot is also beginning to heat up, and Bowes, Derry City, Sligo Rovers, all fairly close in terms of points. Sligo go to Shamrock Rovers on Friday night, Derry home to St. Pat's, two big games.
Yeah, very big, as you say. You know, that's fourth against second there. Derry, you know, at home, you know, really good at home. You know, they've as I say, we looked at this fixture before, and you would have thought we thought that Pat's maybe coming up pushing for that second place, like they will be. You know, they'll be looking to get those points. They'll be looking to keep the pressure on Shamrock Rovers, who hold top spot. You know, there's will they not be able to push them all the way to the end? I'm sure they will try, but as I say, Derry will be hoping to get that European spot, and I say they'll be looking to catch Sligo as well, you know, who aren't that far ahead of them. Sligo had that great start to the season where they went 14 games unbeaten, and since that it's just seemed to be you're not really sure which Sligo's going to turn up on the night. You know, they've kind of stuttered, they haven't won it in their last three games. So it's going to be a difficult night for Derry, but look, they have more than enough to beat Pats at the Brownie Well.
Yeah, on Sligo Rovers, it's interesting, isn't it? Because Harps had that situation during the season too, Keith, where they couldn't find a win. Sligo seemed to have had a wall in terms of picking up victories, a string of draws, some disappointing defeats. And, you know, all of a sudden the teams behind them have been able to close in.
They have, but they seem to be hanging on to that third spot for weeks. I feel like I've been talking about it for so long in terms of Sligo are still in third, as just because of that great start that they did have. And, you know, they were in second for a while as well. Obviously, you know, there was talk of them challenging Shamrock Rovers for the league, but just in that middle of the summer, around the time where they fell out of Europe, where they were beaten FAI Cup by First Division Cork City, you know, so it just has been a stuttering season for them after that brilliant start. They'll be thinking now, look, we really have to get ourselves in an order here to try and hang on to that third spot, because Derry are coming hard, and Bowes obviously as well with those games in hand. So you could see Sligo maybe just dropping out of that top three eventually. And the next two weekends could be that.
Okay, the final fixture then on Friday night is Drogheda against Longford. Longford have been bottom of the table for so long, and even if they manage to win at Drogheda on Friday night, results elsewhere might mean that they would be relegated, and I suppose it's a case of putting off the inevitable.
I think so. I think the writing's been on the wall for Longford now for a long couple of weeks. Still a sticky side. You know, they don't give up points easily. You know, they've been unlucky a lot of games. Dundalk went down there a couple of weeks ago, and you know, Longford managed to beat them 1-0. So it'll be by no means an easy game for Drogheda. Longford are fighting all the way, but Drogheda over, as I say, partway through the season as well, you know, they've beginning to stutter and are dropping down the table, and are now in that conversation for the relegation playoff with Harps and Waterford and Dundalk. So you could see, just looking at the remaining fixtures, you could see them maybe dropping the whole way down, because they're the team that aren't showing much form, that are in that half of the table. So I would worry for about Drogheda. I would fear for them at the moment. As I say, they're the ones that do seem to be struggling most, so they would need to be picking up 3 points at home to Longford.
Keith Cowan speaking to Jermot Doherty, and we will have updates from that Van Harps Waterford game tomorrow night. Friday kickoff is at 7:45, and Billy Costing will be there for Highland Radio Sport. Live regular updates from that big important game tomorrow night for the Harps. Some of the standout games at local soccer level. Two matches in the FAI Intermediate Cup this weekend. At 6:30 on Saturday, Bunnigie United are playing Monaghan United. And then on Sunday at 2 o'clock, Coghill Celtic are up against Letterkenny Rovers. When in the FAI Junior Cup, Glengad United will meet Fannage United on Sunday afternoon. And Kildrum Tigers will make the trip into Inishowen to take on Cairn FC. Couple of crucial rugby matches for Northwest clubs this coming weekend. City of Derry and Omagh both lost last week, looking to bounce back. They're on the road. City of Derry heading to Sunday's Wales on Saturday. Omagh are off to Enniscorthy. Both matches start at 2:30. And also starting at 2:30 at the Dave Gallagher grounds, Letterkenny are hosting Virginia in Ulster Championship Division 3. It's a big game for Letterkenny. They sit third in the table on 17 points. Virginia do have a game on hand, first in the standings on 19 points. So Letterkenny could go top on Saturday with a bonus point win against Virginia. It's a huge game. In recent matches away from home, Letterkenny have faltered and lost points. Their head coach this year, the new head coach this year, is Paul O'Kane. He told me earlier today that they'll need to improve in their performances, but they're very much capable of taking a big one on Saturday.
Huge game, Oisin, and even though it's early in the season, it's very important that we do get a one on Saturday. Virginia hold a game in hand on us. They're unbeaten. They hold the cards at the minute, I suppose. We've dropped a few points away from home, and we've definitely got to come out with a real positive result this week. Yeah. The best outcome obviously would be a bonus point won and denying them any losing bonus point, but I think first and foremost we've got to try and win the game, and that's going to be really, really difficult against a very good Virginia side who are high in confidence.
You mentioned there are two defeats away from home. Have you been disappointed then, have you, how things have panned out so far, Paul? Because I know that you were setting very high standards and very high goals at the start of the season.
I think we've got to be disappointed. I think when you break both games down, we had more than enough chances to win the games. Just a lack of accuracy, maybe missing a few key ingredients regards the squad, and probably just not that connectedness throughout the squad to be chopping and changing or dealing with injuries at the moment has denied us probably. No lack of will or want or endeavour from the lads, but definitely points gone a-begging as far as I'm concerned, and I think probably both sides that we've played would probably agree with that. We dominated possession, we dominated the games, but we just didn't find that cutting edge to get through, take our opportunities when they were there, and probably to agree a wee bit of touchiness on the pitch as well, just maybe overthinking things at times. So we've got to take those lessons and try and improve on it. And no better way to do that over the next couple of weeks with Virginia at home and Monaghan away. So these were always probably going to be the two games in the league whereby we really see where we're at.
You, by the sounds of it, you've had a number of problems with the squad injury-wise and various other reasons, Paul. Is things improving ahead of the games this very, very important couple of weeks for you?
We'll probably leave a few decisions right down to the last minute. We'll run our physio clinic this week on the Friday so that the guys that are returning from Dublin will have an opportunity to get in with the physio, get assessed, and we'll give it right up to Friday to make a call on that. We've named an extended squad. We hope to have Daniel Faulkner back. We will have, Peter Scott will be back again this week, hopefully. Ben Scott will be back as well, but we're still missing out the likes of your Barry Lafferty's, your Jack Spears, your Ben Kearns, who are really been missed to give us that depth up front and give us a bit of continuity regards to defensively and I suppose attack wise around our lineouts and our how we defend. Those two guys in particular, Jack and Ben Kern, were massively important to that. Jack was, although he's only up from under 18s, he's became a real vital cog in what we're trying to do, both attack and defensively. They're out and out shop tacklers, and that's something the rest of the guys have got to pick up now in the squad. We've had to move to the likes of Keenan Barrett into the back row, and he's done really well, but even Keenan was missing the last game down in Cavan due to COVID, unfortunately. So there's been plenty of problems to deal with, but every club's the same, and I'm sure everyone has similar problems week to week. That's part of the fun with junior rugby. You've got to find solutions to this. And unfortunately, a couple of occasions, we haven't been able to find the solutions on a weekly basis. But as I say, there's been no lack of endeavour, and we're not far away. The two negative results, there's been a penalty score between them, 8-5 and 10-8, the last away turnover. So two losing bonus points is a positive out of it, and with the knowledge that we probably could and should have come away with victories each time. But we've got to just look towards Virginia now and pay them the utmost respect and try and find a way to get over the line against them, which, as I say, isn't going to be an easy proposition. Very, very good side, well coached, and they have huge aspirations themselves. Listening to their coach now, they want Championship 2 rugby within the club, and that's their aspiration. So they'll be coming to Letterkenny for a victory and nothing else on Saturday.
Yeah, but at the same time, if Letterkenny can get a one on home soil and sort of make your home venue a bit of a fortress, it'll get you back on track and it'll be a bit of a statement too, will it, Paul?
There's a real pride within the guys that we don't get beat at home. I think it's always been there within Letterkenny, even through their darkest days and through any times they were struggling. There was a real ownership that the home territory was very much marked territory, and that nobody get anything for free. We're hoping that we'll have a really good squad out, and to be honest, if we perform how I know and believe we can 100% pick up the one. And everything in this league's about momentum. If we pick up the one, hopefully get up even a place in that league, it puts a bit of pressure back on to Virginia, and it builds us nicely towards another huge game next week away to Monaghan. And that's what I've said to the guys. It's got to be a next game mentality at the minute, whereby a negative result builds a bit of pressure, a positive starts to build pressure back on the other teams up around that top. There's certainly at least a four-way battle evolving there between ourselves, Virginia, Monaghan and Uri. And I see very little between the sides, to be honest, and even the sides bubbling just below that, the Belfast Highs and the Strabans, the County Cavans. There's a real there's a few good dynamics within the league starting to evolve, and everyone's starting to tighten up. So if we can put a bit of pressure back onto Virginia this week, we hope they slip up down the line, or it gives an opportunity when we go to Virginia to hopefully pull a result out down there, which obviously will be very difficult as well. But this week's all that matters at the minute, and we've got to look after business this week to be able to put ourselves back in a position to at least challenge and heap pressure on those above us for promotion.
That's Paul O'Kane, Letterkenny Rugby head coach. To boxing, the weigh-in for the Ulster Senior and Novice Championships for 2021 will take place at the Letterkenny Clubhouse this coming Saturday, the 17th of October. It's from 9:30 to 10:30. Boxing, of course, in the preliminary rounds will take place in Belfast next Tuesday the 19th and Wednesday the 20th. The finals are scheduled for Thursday the 21st of October. Quite a few Donegal fighters hoping to do well at Ulster level next week. And finally, in motorsport, there's a couple of events that have interest to North West Crews rallying wise. The Tour of the Spearns rallies on Saturday, hosted by the Maherfelt Motor Club. Desi Henry and Donegal man Niall Burns are the top seeds there. The likes of Gary Jennings will have Rory Kennedy on board, seated in the top 10, with Oma man Seamus Leonard and Muff man Joseph McGonigal also set for starts. And David Bogie is set to make the trip across the water from Scotland and compete in his escort as well. And there'll be a number of Donegal crews also attending the event on Sunday, which is the Wexford Stages Rally, as rallying returns on a very, very busy schedule over the last couple of weeks, and that's set to continue into this weekend as well. You can, of course, recap on the programme if you missed any of the show tonight by going to the sports section of highlandradio.com. Chris Ashmore has our next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. What's left of your Thursday? Enjoy the rest of the evening.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, where the Christmas Club is now open. Shop online 24/7 at michaelmurphysports.ie.